To understand this passage, we have to look at the first line. The tax collectors and sinners were coming and listening to Jesus, and that upset the Pharisees. So Jesus addresses these three parables to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, they're the ones who were the experts in the law, and they were quite often judgmental about people who broke the law, people who didn't follow the customs of the religion and the culture, who failed, who made mistakes. And so Jesus addresses these parables to them. He says, what one among you wouldn't leave the 99 sheep that he has in peril and go after the lost one? And the reality is, none of them would do that. First of all, it's an insult to these Pharisees to compare them to shepherds. Shepherds were the lowest of the low. They were out there alone because they really weren't capable of doing anything else, and so they spent time away from the culture, and they were dirty, and they smelled like the sheep, they stank. And the Pharisees are thinking to themselves, how dare you compare us to shepherds? And besides that, we wouldn't leave the 99 in peril. We would say, okay, I've still got 99. Let that lost one be lost. I wouldn't go out in search of that lost one. And then he says, what woman wouldn't, when she loses a coin, scrub the house in search of it? And the Pharisees are thinking to themselves, women, they're nothing in this culture. How can you compare us to women? And if we were a woman, we wouldn't act like that. So you see, he's at cross purposes with them. He's turning their argument on its head. And then the most powerful story of all. We often call it the story of the prodigal son, but it's really a story about the father. Who is the one who makes the most mistakes, who is the who breaks the cultural bonds more than the father? First of all, he makes the mistake of allowing the younger son to divide the property and take his share and go off. And he rather than even trying to reason with him, he just lets him go. That's a mistake, according to the way the Pharisees would think. And then when the older son gets jealous, instead of exercising his authority and saying, you will get back in the house and you will go to this party, he tries to reason with him. And at the end of the story, where is the father? He's outside his own house. He's outside the party that he is throwing, looking for the lost ones. To say that God, the Father, in the story is outside his house, that's about the incarnation. God, through the Son, left his house, heaven, and came down to earth searching for us. And Jesus shows who the Father really is by being willing to look out for the lost ones, hanging out with the tax collectors and the sinners, going to the cross for our salvation. Jesus shows in human form what it looks like to be God. So we might ask, what happened to the two sons? Did the younger son finally get some inheritance? Did the older son ever go back into the party? Luke specifically doesn't tell us what happened to them because they're us. They're you and me. Because sometimes we're like the younger son, demanding what we don't deserve, leaving in a snit, you know, leaving the household, leaving the church, whatever reasons we have had, but we are this insolent younger son on whom God has mercy. Or sometimes we're the older son. We're jealous of the party that's thrown for the younger one. We're jealous of those who seem to squeak into the kingdom without having worked as hard as we did. We're we're envious of each other, we're judgmental. All of us, in one time or another in our lives, have been one of those sons. And so the question isn't what happened to those two in the story. The question is, where are we at the end of the story? Are we willing to be forgiven by God? Are we willing to go back into the party? Are we willing to reconcile with one another? You know, parents can never rest easy as long as their children are fighting each other. This is God, the ultimate parent, and it just kills him to see us fighting with each other. Unforgiving, resentful, holding grudges, not speaking. So are we willing to be allowed, will we allow ourselves to be forgiven by God for our own transgressions? Can we forgive each other? As the Our Father says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. The story really is about us. And it's about our Pharisaism. It's about our willingness to be confronted by these strange stories and have ourselves revealed to us. Can we allow God to point up our sin to us and then feel redeemed from it? Because when God points out our sin, he always does it in a non-condemning way. It's the voice of mercy, not the voice of condemnation. So Jesus redeems the Pharisees by these stories. He gets them to kind of laugh at themselves. One of the greatest healers is humor. He tells these stories that are just so ridiculous that they can kind of chuckle at themselves. He's putting their sin, their own sin, in front of them. The Pharisees who thought that they didn't sin, Jesus is putting their sin right in front of them in a humorous kind of way so that they can be redeemed. The liturgy puts these stories before us for the same reason.